mostly I see shifting their perspective on trusting that they're going to have everything they need versus holding on to it just in case.
Welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Nilsson, speaker, author, and yes, life coach. This is the place where you will get to anchor your identity in Jesus. Learn how to hear the voice of God and get aligned with His will for your life and get activated into your next bold step of faith. Let's get going. Hey, I am so excited to bring you this episode today. It's on, I know, wait for it, professional organizing. And normally I don't have this kind of conversation on the show, but it was very cool to talk to Tracy and really realize that having an organized life is really connected to the first two commandments, love God and love others. How do we love others well? And how do we organize, declutter, have systems in our life so that we can love those around us so they don't feel overwhelmed by all our stuff? Tracy is so kind and generous. She gives a very practical tip. I'm going to give you a quick hint. She has an acronym called SPASM, S-P-A-S-M. Exactly. I started chuckling when she said that, but it's her system toward organizing. So if you want to know how to have better systems and organization, even in your life and around your house, this episode is for you. And if you want to have some tips and some thoughts about how this is a generational legacy kind of conversation, we get into inheritance and what kind of conversations to have with your kids and with your parents. It's so good. I can't wait for you to be blessed. Let's jump into it. Hi, you guys. I'm so excited to have you back on the podcast and introduce you to my new friend, Tracy Hoth. I had to chuckle in her bio when she has a little parentheses. It's H-O-T-H, and she says it's pronounced like both. Because I'm guessing, Tracy, people call you Tracy Hoth, don't they?
All the time.
All the time. Okay. Tracy Hoth, who's a 17-year veteran, a professional organizer. So that intrigues me because that's not my zone of genius, is not professional organizing. I can tell you that for sure. But she's a certified life coach who's on a mission to empower business owners to create streamlined and organized businesses. That sounds important. That does sound important. As a business owner, I feel like that is important. She's the host of the top 1% globally ranked organized coach podcast. So congratulations on that. Thanks. And creator of your two signature programs, Organized Coach Academy, where she helps business owners organize and systemize their businesses, and then Organized Life Academy, where she helps women declutter and organize their homes. And now I'm curious, how many people are in both? Because it sounds like if you're a business owner, you might want both.
Yes, right? I do have business owners that are in both.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. Okay.
Well, first of all, Tracy, welcome to the show. And let's just dive right in. I would love for you to tell the listeners how we connected. Before we dive into who you are and organizing and Kingdom Life and all that stuff, like, you reached out to me in a really special way. So I'd love for you to just tell them what happened.
Yes. I was a guest on a podcast with Jeanette. Mm-hmm. She was on your show just recently.
Yes.
And we were talking, and it was kind of, I don't even know how it came about, but to back up even before that, Sunday night, we meet for our small group in our church. And we were talking about the Holy Spirit and talking about different ways and how you communicate and hearing the voice of God and hearing from Him and what that looks mm-hmm. like. And I remember asking the question, how do we know, like, is there a resource out there that helps us practice that? Mm. And nobody necessarily in the small group said anything. And then that next week, I was on this interview with Jeanette. And after the call, we were talking, and it somehow came up. And she says, oh, I have a book. It's changed my life. And she told me what the book was. Aww. And I immediately ordered it on Amazon and got the book like a day later.
What is the book, Tracy? What book changed your life?
Untangled Faith.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
The journal. So I ordered the book and the journal, and I started reading mm-hmm. both of them and started mm-hmm. doing the journal. Yeah. Following the directions. And it was amazing. It's amazing.
Well, first of all, that's really encouraging and fascinating to me that you were in a group and asking, how do you hear God's voice? And how do I know I'm hearing God's voice? And how would I practice that? And at least in that specific setting, nobody had a real clear answer. I know there are definitely other resources out there, so I would not want to pretend like there aren't, but I just feel encouraged and just, just encouraged and blessed that the Lord would connect you with Jeanette and Jeanette would send you that way. So I'm curious for you when you did start. So for those of you that don't know totally about Untangled Faith and kind of this beautiful exchange journaling, Tracy, will you explain your perspective of it and how it's helped you connect with God, hear his voice, make decisions?
Yeah. And in the group, we looked at different scriptures, but as far as a practice, a book, a something to like help us do that, a tool. Yes, that's a great word. They didn't have something at the tip of their fingers. And balancing between super out there and making sure it's biblically sound, that's the key. I mean, where does that come in? And as I read your book and I was like, this is so good. It starts with scripture. You check it against scripture, like it's aligned. And so that made me feel good about doing that practice. And so what was your question? What
just
happened
kind of
when
your
I started?
Experience with it? Maybe a practical example or a story just about like, what were you going after that you wanted to hear God's voice about? And how did that journaling practice help you?
Yeah, everything literally. And so I love how you can just write it all down, put it all down on scripture. And I also read through the Bible in a year, and several times I've used the Bible recap with Tara Lee Cobble. And so I do that first. I was doing that. I listened to it. And then I sat down with the journal and started just writing all the questions I had, all the concerns I had. And we were getting ready to go on a trip, and there was a relationship that I felt stressed about, and I just asked God, what do you want me to do? And then when when I write from him, it was just so clear to me, call, reach out, be honest, talk about it. And I reached out. I didn't do it immediately. And then I told one of my friends.
Why didn't you do it immediately? There is a practice in the journal that's like, do you find any hesitation in your spirit to do what God's asking you to do? I put that in there because I'm like, normally I'm like, I don't want to do what you're asking me to do. Sounds hard.
I should go back to that day and see if I had a reservation there. Yeah. I think maybe it was that I ran out of time. I think some of it was I just didn't want to be crying. So I told a friend and she's like, Tracy, you need to do that today. And then a day or two later, I was sitting again journaling and I'm like, okay, today's the day. And so I made that phone call. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience between the two of us. And so it's just been good.
Yeah, that's really, really encouraging. And for those of you that are not as familiar with this journaling practice, the book is called Untangled Faith. I call the journaling beautiful exchange journaling, and the phrase beautiful exchange came to me like 10 years ago when I was writing my first book, which is called A Beautiful Exchange. And it was this concept that, because at that time we had just adopted our two youngest kids and life was really hard. That's a testimony for another time. You can find it in all kinds of places. But I was like, God, did we hear you right? Did we make the right choice? Or did we ruin everybody's lives? Like, should we never have done this in their life, in our life? And really through counseling, through Christian community, through my own time with the Lord, he just began to really highlight to me this kingdom truth. And the invitation that was before me was like, Megan, you have so much expectation about what life should be and how everybody should be and what family looks like, all these things, but your flesh is holding on very tightly to your expectations of life, physical, mental, emotional, all the things. But if you would just release your flesh, your expectation, and let me exchange my spirit, let me give you my spirit, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light is what Jesus says. Let me give you my spirit in exchange, and you're going to see things from a whole different perspective. So that to me is the idea of beautiful exchange. And so the journaling practice that Tracy's talking about is this moment where you get to sit down with your pen and just go after something. Like in your case, Tracy, a relationship. We're about to go on vacation. This is really stressful. And you're probably getting amped up. Your heart rate's rising. You're like, oh, I don't know if I can hang out with this person. It's going to be really hard. And instead, what I love that you did is awesome model is instead of just grinning and bearing it, like gutting it out and being like, you know what, this person really is hard for me, but I'm going to do it anyway, but it's going to be stressful. You said, God, there's got to be another way. Is there another way? Because if you've planned and purposed for us to all go on vacation together and be together, I don't think it's because you really want us to have the most stressful, awkward, terrible time. So what could that be? And so you're asking God, what do I do? This is hard. And you take a breath and you say, okay, Holy Spirit, speak to me. What, God, what do you want me to know? Lord, what's your kingdom perspective over this perceived problem? And then his voice is kind and encouraging. And guess what? It's convicting. And he says to you, Tracy, the best thing right now is to be honest, get a phone call out there and start to work on the relationship, which to me is very much God's voice of unity, reconciliation, being honest, working it out with one another, bearing one another's burdens. And you did that. And now you have this testimony of like, oh man, okay, thanks God. I'm hoping that the end of the story is it was a little bit better on the vacation, hopefully.
Oh, yes. It was okay, really good. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was really good. So anyway, that's amazing. That's amazing. So Tracy reached out to me via email and said, hey, I loved it so much. And here's my testimony. And oh, by the way, I'm a business owner. I'm a kingdom girl. I would love to come on the show. So I said, absolutely. So I want to ask you, Tracy, just straight out of the gates, like your work as a professional organizer in life and in business is really kind of about bringing calm, right, in the chaos. Mm-hmm. Because when we have a disorganized mind or a disorganized life, everything feels stressful. Nothing really gets done. So I'm curious for you personally, in Tracy's, you know, list of life experiences, like has there been a moment where God used organization for you to bring about like breakthrough or spiritual breakthrough? Can you think of a time when you were in a disorganized state? God led you through organization in order to like flourish in a different way?
Ooh, I mean, Megan, could you have sent me that question in advance?
Nope.
I mean, even this morning, what comes to my mind is within my business. I feel like there's times when I feel really disorganized. I have this project that I need to work on and I have all these steps that I need to do. And I can sit there and think about that's so overwhelming. I'm not sure which step to do. I don't know what to do and how to do it and what's the right way and what'll be the most efficient way and not waste any of my time. And then all the tech that goes with it. So it's all this stuff. And just this morning, I sat down, I wrote all that to the Lord. And then I said, what do you want me to do? And it was so good. Just using it again. He wrote back and he's like, I am your coach. Come to me and ask me every single question. When you're sitting there at the computer, talk to me, ask me. I felt like that was my organization. Like all I need to do is go back to God and ask him. He's my coach. He's going to help me with each step. And the one thing that stood out too that he said was, I get the glory for this. Like you give me the glory for organizing your business, for providing for you and for helping you get through each of these steps. And I was like, that's it. And then when you look at that in the practice of organizing your home, your mind, your schedule, your calendar, your closet, your business, it's literally the same thing. It's this practice of asking him, what do you want me to keep? How do you want me to be generous? What do you want me to do with these things? How can I steward them in the best way that I can?
I love that. You have your personal organizing CEO. Have you always been an organized person? Is this kind of been your zone of genius since you were little? Were you one of those little kids that had like every little toy like tucked away in the right place? Or were you like a hot mess? Where did this come from?
I would say my mind likes to work with order. Like when I see, like I teach people how to use five files in their business, five file folders to keep things really simple. Like I want to have this picture in my mind and then teach it really simply or have it be simple and flow. Am I super anal and color code everything? No. I mean, is there places I can do that?
I'm glad you call that anal. I don't know. I guess so.
No, but well, I've been in people's, like another organizer's home, and she literally had all her vegetables in alphabetical order in her closet. I'm like, that's
so not me.
It's like
the home edit. Those ladies are insane. But amazing.
I'm more practical because organization just means that you know what you have and you can find it when you need it. So I don't need to, and I don't want to spend all my time and money on everything to make it look perfect. Mm-hmm. I can function if I know where things are and I can find them when I need them. And that's such a relief to a lot of people that, okay, it doesn't need to look at those, like those pictures. I don't need to decanter everything. I don't need to go spend tons of money on getting organized. It's just like, how do we steward this stuff in a way that helps our family function? And that's enough.
Yeah. How did God call you into this? Like, what is kind of your faith background? How did you grow up and begin to kind of marry your faith with your calling? What does that look like?
Oh, well, I came to know the Lord in the summer of 93. Okay. I was working at a job in Texas and after college, and I was like, is this it? Like, is this what I worked so hard, got such good grades for? And then a friend of mine that I had just met like 2 months ago said, hey, I'm moving back to California with my parents. Do you want to come for the summer with me? And I was like, that sounds crazy. Like something you would do if you were, you know, free and wild
single
and had no connections.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I moved with her and lived with her family for the summer. And that's how I met the Lord. Their family friend said, hey, Tracy, you want me to disciple you? I have a book I've been praying about who I want to disciple. I didn't even know what the word disciple
meant. Yeah,
what
does that even mean? It's like you just said decanter. I was like, what does that even mean? Right? Like, I don't know. Okay. So wait. Let me just, so you're not a Christian, not really growing up, I'm guessing, in any kind of churchy space, like Christmas and Easter? Like, did you have sort of peripheral knowledge?
Yeah, I grew up in a more formal, I went
maybe
to
just
church
sort of nominal.
Sometimes.
Like,
yes.
We're going to go to church. We are quote unquote Christians, but like that's.
Yeah, we went to church pretty regularly. We also showed horses and camped a lot. So we missed a lot of church. But yes, my parents had me in church. But it wasn't, I didn't realize the relationship side of it.
Like you would have called yourself a Christian probably. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Or not even. You don't even know.
I don't think I knew what the word Christian was.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then you show up in California with your friend's family and somebody just says, I'm praying about who to disciple.
She had a book on the counter.
What was the book?
It was One-to-One Discipleship. I think it's a Navigators thing.
All right.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know what that meant. I just was like, And then later they left me there with her. And later she said, Tracy, you want to go through this discipleship book? And she was so fun. And so
what are you going to say? No.
No. I was like, yeah, hang out with someone. That's super fun. Yeah. And, you know, what else do I have to do? We were nannies and I worked like 4 days a week, you know, so.
God bless her for being so bold.
Yes.
But I guess if you were living in their house, she's like, hey, like God brought you here. You're in my life. I'm going to disciple you. And so what do you remember about that summer, like coming to Christ, and what was your new life looking like after that?
Yeah. I somehow knew that I was supposed to work with kids. But what stood out was that I sat on my bed and I thought, in all of this, I see a purpose that God has for my life. Where before it was like work, 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 try to get good grades so you can get this job. So I don't know what happens after that. But now I was like, God has a plan for me. And it was so exciting. And it had so much purpose built into it. And it was an 8-week discipleship. I didn't even get to the end of it. I reached out to a friend whose brother was in Kansas City, because I lived in Texas at the time. So he needed a girls coordinator for an inner city outreach ministry in Kansas City. And I came and interviewed, and I do remember asking him, well, if I was going to like share Christ with the kids, we hadn't gotten to the evangelism chapter yet in the discipleship. So I was like, what would I do? And he goes, well, I mean, we'd start with the fall of man. And I was like,
something
my
light.
Gosh.
I mean, it is the beginning of
notes.
The Bible, so
And so anyway, there was another girl there that worked adjacent to the ministry who was a strong Christian, and it was the most amazing thing. So at the end of that summer, I moved to Kansas City, started working with inner city kids, went to a Bible study, a big adult group Bible study, and that's where I met my husband. And so from that point on, I have been involved in ministry and
So you're supposed to work with kids, but now you're an organizational business and life coach. So how did that happen? How did God call you into this space right here?
Even before we had kids, I would look in magazines and there's, you know, the pictures of the closets. Mm. So I would take the pictures of the organized closets and put them in a file. And my husband and I even drew a logo. And then I have had 4 kids. I stayed home with them. When my youngest was going into preschool, I thought, I can help people get organized. Like that's what I could do on the side while the kids are mm-hmm. in school and make a business out of that and have it be really flexible so I can still be home with my family. Mm. And so I just made a website and read up on how to organize people. And yeah, okay. been doing it ever since.
Amazing. Well, you know, this show is called Kingdom Life Coaching. Yeah. Your business is wonderful and beneficial for so many. You are not an overtly Christian company, right? You yourself right. are a believer, but you'll work with anybody. However, I'm right. curious, like maybe some people don't think of organization as like a spiritual act, but I think you've seen the deep impact that it can have on people and their lives change. I mean, it's kind mm-hmm. of funny if I'm watching HGTV or something like that, or TLC, you know, and you're watching the show where it's like a hot mess, like the home edit, for example, yeah. or some of these where they come in and they do some kind of home makeover, you see the transformation from my life is overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I'm anxious. I'm depressed. Again, some of that is clinical, so I'm not mentioning that, but like there's a heaviness and mm-hmm. then they come in and they organize their home and all that. There's a lightness there. So I'm curious, like, how can decluttering or organization be like a spiritual practice or soul care or act of obedience to the Lord? Like how have you seen that in your life and work?
I see the picture of God owns everything mm-hmm. and we somehow get that stuff in our house. Do we buy it? Do we get it right. for free?
This is the first question. Where did this come from? Yeah.
Do our kids bring it in? Mm-hmm. Like it gets in our house. So now our job is to steward it. Mm. And I think transitions a lot of time, like new babies, a move, we inherit all our parents' things. We were mm-hmm. never taught how to organize, how to declutter, the steps that you go through. And so all of that, then we're at this point where what do we do? Mm-hmm. And as a believer, I think it's important to look at it, the stewardship side of it. Like you are stewarding the stuff. And I think there's times when the stuff can become more like an idol where mm-hmm. we're spending time buying too many things and we're taking care of too many things and moving things around. Or it can become a practice of trusting God. Mm-hmm. And I always think in order to let something go with people that have a hard time letting go, mm-hmm. there's this huge trust factor there that you have to trust that God is going to provide everything you need exactly when you need it. Mm-hmm. But that's like a leap of faith trust issue. Mm-hmm. And so the practice of decluttering and the practice of going to God and saying, what here should I keep? What here should I let go of? Who can I bless with this? Mm-hmm. What can I do to steward your stuff well? Is it just such a helpful part if you know about that, to think of it in a way that it's a practice. And it's mm-hmm. the relationship with the Lord too. It's yeah. like your journal. You're going to him and asking, what should I do with this stuff?
Yeah. And the releasing, I think the releasing is a huge thing because our human nature, it's kind of like I was talking about with this beautiful exchange, like my human flesh wants to, like Gollum, like my precious, yeah. everything's my precious, right? Like I need this thing. But that is kind of how our humanity is wired because we are creatures of survival. Like if you think back to the beginning days, mm-hmm. you had to survive and you had to find animal skins to get to clothe you and animals to eat and plants to eat. Like the whole thing was, we need everything we can get to survive. But yeah. now as human race over these thousands of years, we have evolved and we don't need every single thing to survive. Now it's just like, well, I kind of want this and I kind of want that. And I think it's an interesting sort of nuanced, even a spiritual discernment conversation, because how do you know when something's become an idol? Like you've walked into people's lives and houses. Like what are some of the things that you notice? And how do you help them kind of really decide and really discern, is this a keep thing to steward well and to take care of my family? Or how do they know? What are some of the clues of, okay, you don't need this anymore, but I can see you really trying to hang on to it. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, how do you do that?
I think one of the first things I like to help people do is look a little to the future and think, who am I in the future? What do I do? What things am I active in? Like, what kind of crafts do I do? What job do I have?
I don't do any. I'll answer that real fast. I don't do any crafts.
No crafts for you.
Check.
And then if I'm that person, what things are important to me? What do I need to have that? So then you have something to look at. Like, does this fit into the life that I want to have?
Future,
that I'm creating?
Vision. Okay.
Yeah. Versus, should I keep this or not? Because then it's like that. One of my methods for looking at things and purging things is choosing your favorites. Now all of a sudden, you know, like that person in the future wants to have a closet that looks like this. She wants to be able to get dressed easily. She doesn't go to work in an office anymore. She, you know, then you kind of know, like, you know, that person might have five pairs of pants, five pairs of blue jeans, two pairs of
black jeans. Do they still fit? Do those pants
that actually fit?
Okay.
So then at least you have some guidelines that you can filter things through as you're making decisions. And
I love that a lot. Yeah. Thinking, okay, who am I in the future? What does future me want 6 months from now, a year from now? Do I want to be living in this chaos still? Probably the answer is no. Okay. So what do you want your life to look like? So I think that's really, really good kind of first step. And then you were going to say something else.
Well, and even just an example for that, like, do I serve China at my dinner parties, you know, or do I have dinner parties, or do we use paper plates? Or so then you kind of know as you go through things, what do you want to keep and what don't you want to keep? And I just like one of my clients, the reason I said crafts is she has lots of crafts, and it's kind of your identity too. So your identity back in the day was, I do all these crafts. And she's decided, no, in the future, I just do scrapbooking. And she had one other one. I can't remember what it was, but now she knows, like, I'm letting that identity go. That's who I was. I wanted to try all these things. I spent a lot of money on all these supplies, but now going forward, I know I want to do these two things. And the rest of the time, I'm out volunteering. I want to do other things now. This is the person who I am now.
Yeah, that's so good. And help you focus, help you get really clear on your values, who you want to be. And it was interesting earlier when we were joking around about how did this stuff get into my house? You know, did it come from my kids? Did it come from my, immediately I just had this spiritual analogy of like, whoa, that is like our mind also, you know? So part of this idea that's like, it's very, this analogy is very much a parallel and kind of a married idea, because in the natural sense, you're saying it's so important to take inventory, go through your house, go through your bedroom, your places, spaces, your office, and say, okay, how can I be a good steward of what do I really need? What is beneficial? What needs to go? Same thing, I think, is to take inventory of your mind and be like, how did this get in here? How did this get into my heart and soul? And sometimes it is the things that have come into your house that are now in your heart and soul. How do you help people with, let's take the inheritance idea, right? This was grandma's, you know, armoire. This was mom's, you know, this and that. Like, how do you decide what are those things that you really want to keep and some things to let go? Because I'm guessing that would be like heavy sometimes.
Making those decisions are challenging. And I think you look at one of the things that to start with is just the guide of the container that God's given you in the moment, which is your house, the size of your house, the size of what you have available for
your
the
dwelling
things to live in. Or it might be a room, the size of a room, whatever it is, to think about that first, because what you keep depends on how big the container you have is and how much space you have available.
Good point. Like if you had a Tupperware and you had a whole thing of soup, you're not going to put it in a tiny little Tupperware where it's like overflowing and getting on the counter and all the kind of things, right? You find the container for the amount of food. Good.
Yes.
Okay.
And you might have to share the food outside of your home in order to store the food because you have nowhere else to put it.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to turn it around and see it like that. All of a sudden you're generous and you're living an abundant life because you're not holding on to things and trying to keep everything. But is it hard a lot if you have special memories and that was meaningful to your parents or your whoever you inherited it from? Yeah, it can. And one of the things, you can sit with that emotion and just allow the emotion to be there for a while before making the decision. Mm-hmm. We learned that Sade Curry came and spoke, and she said she went through a divorce, and she said that she sat in the room with all the stuff that she had moved that she had to go through now. And there was lots of pain and lots of grief and lots of expectations that weren't the way she thought they were going to be. Mm-hmm. And she would just go into the room and sit with the emotion and then leave and not do anything and go into the room the next day and just sit with that. So it's a big job sometimes.
It's a process.
To be able mm-hmm. to make decisions on that. And there's no rush in making decisions. It's like prayer and thinking through those emotions, thinking about your future self and what they want, and then thinking about others. Who else could use this, and who could make use of it that would make me happy to give it to, or to donate it to a cause that I want, and they can sell it and use the money toward their cause or whatever. Lots of different ideas.
I love that. And I like her suggestion of kind of going into the room or wherever it is, sitting there, feeling the emotion. And then I think probably the next step, which you alluded to earlier, is ask Holy Spirit, like begin to almost put like your Holy Spirit glasses on and look around and see kind of what pops off. Like, how does the Lord highlight something that's like, this is the thing to keep, this is for you. And how does he, like, I feel like praying for like, Lord, help me release all the things that I don't need to carry anymore. And he will.
Yeah.
I mean, he will show you. Like, have you ever felt that yourself, where you feel like God's speaking to you about an item or a way of organizing, or have you had a client that's ever had that sort of spiritual epiphany?
I mean, the thing that comes to my mind is more about special things that they love that maybe their grandkids made them, or like all the things, they got a little stuffed animal that they got from some vacation they went on. Like, all those things are special. But when you have so many things that are special, there's not just that, nothing is really special then. It's all special. So everything in your house is special. So thinking through, like, what is the thing that is going to bring me happiness when I see it, that I can display, that I can put up as a reminder of some memories that I have. But just knowing the memory isn't in the stuff, it's in your mind. So you're not losing the memory if you let go of the stuff. And different tricks, like taking photos of those things, especially big things like furniture or inherited pieces that you could take photos of. But what was your question? It was
just a spiritual epiphany. Like just like, has anybody sort of had, like, this is how God is speaking to me in this moment of letting go. And it's hard. I don't know.
Yeah. Nothing's popping in my mind as specific as that. I think the mostly I see shifting their perspective on trusting that they're going to have everything they need versus holding on to it just in case. So it's that shift.
That's a mic drop right there. Trust that you're going to have everything you need instead of holding on to it just in case. I'm curious, and this is kind of a fastball at you that you're not prepared for, but if you think about legacy and the stuff that we own, the material goods that we own, I'm curious, even now, just having this conversation, if the Lord brings anything to mind as to how we can better pass things down from generation to generation. So I'm thinking, okay, my parents are getting older. They are still alive, but, you know, in the next however many years, life will change and there will be some things coming my way. So what kind of conversations can we be having now about stuff? And also my four kids, your four kids, like, eventually they're going to start inheriting the things that we have. Like, I'm curious, on either side of that generational equation, if you have any advice or thoughts, or just like a bullet point of like, this would be something to pay attention to.
Yes. First of all,
do it well.
Lots of the people in Organized Life Academy are at the age, they're like 50 above, 60 above, looking at that now. And what they found is that nobody wants any of your stuff. No, your
kids
do not want.
I mean, we don't really cuss on this show, but I think I might start. What are you talking about?
That's the biggest thing. Nobody wants your stuff. If you think your parents' house, like, what do you actually want that they have? You have a house
jewelry.
Full of stuff.
I'll take the jewelry.
That jewelry takes up this much space. Exactly. And they have everything else.
Right, right.
So I think that's the biggest thing. Mm. And people are having those conversations and taking photos of things in their home and saying, kids, do you want any of this stuff? Mm-hmm. Or having conversations about it and holidays, like, you know, is there anything you want? Can I give it to you now? Can you be enjoying it now instead of waiting? And maybe by then you don't want it. But the conversation of that is huge. But a client of mine witnessed another friend of hers whose mom, her friend had passed. And so her grown daughters were at the house, her kids. And they literally kept like two things out of the whole house. And for her to witness that, she was like, I was blown away. So I started talking to my own kids. What do you guys want? Mm. Is there anything? Because I think that's huge.
Yeah. And I think as the giver, so if you're telling me right now, Tracy, I feel like the Lord's giving me a very long runway here. Your kids don't want your stuff. I'm like, oh. Then my job is to not be offended when they don't want my stuff.
Exactly.
So I think that's the other sort of entanglement we get into when we're talking like legacy and inheritance and things. I mean, as far as material goods, is that maybe the original owner, the mom, the grandma, whoever is like, what do you mean you don't want this? This has been our family for generations. And then you might feel guilty as the recipient, like, I don't really like it. So you might take something out of guilt or obligation. And then maybe you want to go like sell it on Facebook Marketplace. Like that feels yucky too, right? Like you're kind of lying a little bit. So yeah, I don't know if you have a good suggestion on how to have those conversations. I think it takes me back to at the beginning of our conversation of you having a conversation with a family member or whomever of saying, this is hard. Like, what are some of the things that we can say? Are there ways to say it? Do we need to ask ChatGPT how to say it kindly?
You know what I mean? Say that.
Say this kindly but clearly.
Yeah. I think I'm probably more of a blunt, say it like it is type person. So I would just say,
which is probably
hey, let's
helpful.
Have a conversation about this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking about that. I remember my grandma asked us grandkids if we wanted anything to put a piece of tape on the bottom of it. And have our name on it and the date that we wanted to put it there. But what was it? One glass, one teacup or something, but none of the other things that went with it. And I think that just the more open people are about it, realizing that's maybe the case. Like if you hadn't heard that yet, we talk about it a lot. So if you hadn't heard yet that kids don't really want any of your stuff for the most part.
I feel like that's the whole point of this conversation. I'd be like, I'm going to drop a podcast episode and it's just go to minute like 40 or whatever, because what Tracy's telling you is your kids don't want your stuff. So we got to start dealing with it now.
And they also, Megan, don't want to have a big mess to clean up. Mm-hmm. Like one of my clients' dads just died and I asked her what I could do for her. And she said, please just keep making it known to take care of all your stuff. Get through all of it. Prepare so that your kids aren't having to deal with that. It's hard enough to lose your parent. And then you're having all the stuff you have to deal with on top of that.
What I love that you're saying is really when it boils down to this kingdom truth, or what are the two greatest commandments? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. First one. And the second one is to love others, love your neighbor as yourself. And so what I feel like is coming out to me in this conversation is how do we love others well by being a good steward of our stuff? So some people might get caught in this like, oh, I don't have time to organize, or my life is kind of a mess. My house is kind of a mess, but whatever, I've got all these other things to do. But if you really play it out, like how are you loving your kids well? How are you loving your spouse well? And even, you know, love others as you would love you. Part of loving others is actually doing exactly what you said, cleaning out, having systems, not leaving a big fat mess for your children when you die.
Yeah. And caring for others is sharing your stuff. And sometimes people are like, oh, I don't want to give it to Goodwill or, you know, somewhere like that because they make money off of it. I'm like, also, some woman is going into Goodwill, finding valuable things and reselling them. And that's how she's supporting her family.
Exactly. So
being generous mm-hmm. to others with things that you're not using. If mm-hmm. you've stored something in the closet for 20 years, think of someone else who could enjoy that item. Mm-hmm. And so it's that loving others in a way that you're releasing things in, not knowing what's going to happen on the path of your mm-hmm. item, but God knows. He knows mm-hmm. who he's connecting your thing that you're letting go and trusting him with to who needs it at the moment.
Mm, I love it.
It's fun to think about that.
Yeah, we as human beings, we love to sort of like prejudge how other people are going to use stuff. I don't want to give this to Goodwill because Goodwill's going to, right? Like, I think God's like, oh, hey, your job is the inner work of releasing that item or those things and let me do the rest. And what Tracy said a couple of times on the show is trust that God will provide back for you. Like, it's not our job to go micromanaging how other people are using the stuff. We just need to be obedient to what God's calling us to in kingdom living. And so I don't want to close up without asking you just kind of anything that's really practical when you, like, when you kind of take your body of work and what you're doing in life and business organizing, like, how can you boil it down to just even a couple of practical bullet points that we could just do today to take inventory of our life, our house, and be good stewards so that we can love others well?
Well, I love the idea of thinking of it as a practice. And so mm-hmm. the practice of going to God, asking him what he wants you to let go of. But mm-hmm. I always say, start with one place. You're going to pick one thing. It could be anywhere that's easy that would give you a quick win, or it could be anywhere that is going to feel the best if you have that decluttered and organized. And then I have 5 steps: sort, purge, assign homes, set limits, and maintain.
Okay. Flesh those out even just a little bit.
Yeah. And so they spell spasm, which
is so dorky,
but yep. I have kept it for 17 years. And I'm like, you're not going to forget
it. Girl, that'll preach. Yes. Spasm. Mm-hmm.
So sort is the first step. Is people try to walk into a space and say, what do I need to get rid of in here? Don't do that, because you'll immediately just be overwhelmed and leave. So you sort like items into like items. Take things out. And this is same with your mind. When you were talking about an overwhelmed mind, you use mm-hmm. these same steps. They work literally for every single thing, projects, mm-hmm. everything. So sort everything into categories, just like with like, and then go back through and purge. In that step, you're going to choose your favorites, because that's easy. And then you see what's left. Pray about those things. What mm-hmm. do you need? How do they fit into the future you? And then you're going to keep. So now you know what you're keeping, and then you're going to assign homes to it. Where is it going to live? Where is its home going to be? Could you label that spot? Any mm-hmm. of that. The set limits step is where we contain things. And that's where people like to start. They see cute containers at Target, or they get a new planner or mm-hmm. anything, a new app. They think that's what's going to get them organized. Mm-hmm. And so they have lots
like step
of
4.
Those. Yeah, okay. I know. So don't do it until you get to step 4, because now you know how much stuff you have, where it's going to live, what size container you need. And mm-hmm. the limit is there so that when it gets to the limit, you know to go back to step 1. And you go through the process again. And then maintain is the secret to keeping it all. Mm. And you have to maintain anything, your garden, your health, your laundry, everything needs to be maintained. Mm-hmm. So I like to tie it to something you already do. So you already do taxes. Go ahead and clean your paper out at tax time. You already have season changes, maybe where you live. So go through your closet then. You already go grocery shopping. Every time you go grocery shopping, do a quick clean out of the fridge or your pantry. So things that
rather than just keep stuffing more and more and more stuff in. What?
Yeah. So
mind maintain. Blown, Tracy. Yeah. It's like, oh, we're supposed to throw away old things from the fridge?
Yes. And pantry.
Yeah, good.
Old stuff. Yeah,
old stuff. Oh my goodness. Well, I love it. I love what you do. It's super important. If anybody wants to follow you, find you, get your help, how can they do that?
Yes. My business is simplysquaredaway.com. So they can go on there, find all my programs, everything. Listen to the Organized Coach podcast. I talk about life and business on there. And if you're in business, I have a free course to learn how to organize your digital files. So that's mm-hmm. simplysquaredaway.com/5files.
Okay. Yes, I remember when we were first talking, you said you can get on somebody's screen and help them organize their computer.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I think I need that
too. I love doing that. It's so, fun. It's life-changing.
Well, you do really good work. And what I love about you specifically is you just seem very calm and kind and not judgy, right? Because I think sometimes the reason we don't ask someone or invite someone in to help us organize our heart, our mind, our house is because we're embarrassed.
Yes.
Like I joked around. I was like, oh, if you saw my computer, it's so embarrassing. But you're like, girl, it doesn't matter. Like, I think that's the part that we have to get over is that we have this narrative in our mind that someone's going to judge us and they're going to think we're such a terrible, like a shaming thing.
Yes.
Rather than this is a problem.
Yeah.
I am not really choosing to like take care of it or knowing how to take care of it. I need your help. And you come in as a very safe but helpful person.
Yeah. So, it does take courage. I remember when I organized in people's homes, like I'm seeing their underwear like that takes so much courage. And I respect that so much that they're opening themselves up to see that. And I'm focused on helping them experience the joy of decluttering and organizing and the freedom that comes from it. So I'm more focused on that. I don't care what it looks like now at all. But
And I think for women, I think one thing you touched on earlier was this identity piece but I used to be like this. Say, take our closet, for example, but I used to be able to wear this shirt, these jeans, this skirt, and now I can't because my body's changed or it doesn't fit, but I want that again. And so I think the other thing is just really a lot of mindset and heart work of just being like, you know what, here I am, Lord, fearfully and wonderfully made. You love me just the way I am. And maybe we'll get back to buying some new clothes in the future. But I also think we live in this space of identity and what we think we should be, who we think we should be. And we don't let go of things because what if I could get back to being that person? And I think the Lord just wants you to know, I love you just the way you are. Like, let's be you and move forward in the future, not the past. Yeah. It's good. Okay. Tracy, will you do us a favor? And would you mind praying for anybody listening and whatever the Lord lays on your heart? And then we'll wrap it up.
I'd love to.
Okay. Thanks.
God, we come before you right now. We thank you so much for this conversation, for the opportunity to encourage people listening that you are in control, that you want to show them, want to lead them and guide them on what they should keep. And that, God, you are our ultimate provider. You will provide everything. So I pray for all of us that we trust in you, that we release, like Megan said, I love that word, that we release and are generous and abundant, and you will show us how to do that. I thank you so much for how you work in our lives, how you've worked in my life through Megan's book, and how you will continue to work in the lives of the women listening and help them get organized, help them love their free light spaces that they're in and their mind, and how you're going to work through all of that. I pray and thank you so much for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thanks, Tracy. Last thought I had was even Jesus was an organizer, right? When he had to feed all the people, he said, put everybody in groups of 50. Like, we can't just have chaos around here. So he's a good model.
Yes, we're following his example.
Thank you. See you later. Thank you so much for listening to another episode. You might be wondering, well, now what? Let me offer a few suggestions. Number one, who were you thinking about while you were listening to this episode? If someone crossed your mind because you think this would inspire, challenge, or encourage them, share it right now. Number two, if you think it's worth other people's time to find and listen to this show, please head to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, rate us and leave a review. It will help people around the world know if it's worth their time to come hang out with us. And number three, if you are ready to get aligned with the voice of God, anchored in your identity in Christ, and activated in your next bold step of faith, head to my website, meganbnilsen.com. You can read about my books, see any courses I'm offering, and most importantly, schedule your free 30-minute curiosity and connection call today. Let's keep this conversation going.
Hey.
Hey everyone, I have a question for you. Does your mind ever feel like a tangled hot mess of what ifs and endless overthinking? You are definitely not alone. That's exactly why I wrote Untangled Faith, How Honest Conversations with God Lead to Deeper Connections, Clarity, and Peace. This book is designed to help you learn how to hear God's voice, because does God speak to his people? If he does speak to his people, what does his voice sound like? And how do you know if what you're hearing when you journal or pray is God's voice or your voice? This book will give you practical tools and guided journaling prompts to help you find peace and direction so that you can hear his voice. Grab your copy of Untangled Faith, along with the companion journal, of course, at Amazon today. It is time to stop overthinking and start trusting that you can hear God's voice and live with spirit-led confidence. Get your copy of Untangled Faith at Amazon today.